Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As Jesus came down from the mountain with Peter, James, and John, and approached the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them, and scribes arguing with them. Immediately on seeing him, the whole crowd was utterly amazed. They ran up to him and greeted him. He asked, "What are you arguing about with them?" Someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I have brought you my son possessed by a mute spirit. Wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, he grinds at the teeth, he becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive it out, but they were unable to do so." Jesus said to them in reply, "O faithless generation, how long will I be with you? How long will I endure you? Bring him to me." They brought the boy to him. And when he saw him, the spirit immediately threw the boy into convulsions. He fell to the ground, began to roll around and foam at the mouth. Then he questioned his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" He replied, "Since childhood. It has often thrown him into fire and into water to kill him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said to him, "If you can, everything's possible to one who has faith." Then the boy's father cried out, "I do believe. Help my unbelief." Jesus, on seeing a crowd rapidly gathering, rebuked the unclean spirit and said to it, "Mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." Shouting and throwing the boy into convulsions, it came out. He became like a corpse, which caused many to say, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand, raised him, and he stood up. When he entered the house, his disciples asked him in private, "Why could we not drive the spirit out?" Jesus said to them, "This kind can come out only through prayer." The Gospel of the Lord. This very detailed miracle, St. Mark's Gospel today, we have a double dynamism happening. First, faith, and then second, not merely Jesus' power, but more precisely, Jesus' prayer and how powerful his prayer is. Jesus was up at the top of the mountain being transfigured with James, Peter, and John. When he came down, this dad had brought his possessed son to the disciples to cure. Jesus had already sent out the other apostles with the ability to do things like this, but they were unsuccessful. Finally, when Jesus came down, everybody was amazed. They ran up to him. He says, "Why are you arguing with the scribes?" The scribes were trying to egg on his disciples the same way they were trying constantly to trip Jesus up. And that's when the father spoke out that he brought his son, but the disciples couldn't cast out the demon within him. And then Jesus exclaimed for everybody to hear, "O faithless generation, how long will I be with you? How long will I endure you?" Much it tried Jesus. You know, miracles were always based on faith, and the reason, there was a double reason why that miracle wasn't being worked. The first was, the father and the others around him didn't have adequate faith. And then the second, the disciples didn't have adequate prayer. And that's the double lesson we're going to learn today. So Jesus said, "Bring him here to me." We know that it had been happening this whole boy's life. It sought to kill him. any parent of a child in a circumstance like that would have been absolutely at wit's end. So the father said to him, but if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. This is part number one. Father had enough faith to sort of bring his son to the great miracle worker, to bring him to his disciples. But his faith was still highly defective. He had a little bit of faith, but he really needed help to have greater faith. That was the first reason why the miracle didn't work. If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus' whole purpose in coming into this world was to give us true faith. Because with faith, all things are possible, even moving the mountain of the Transfiguration. So Jesus called him out on it. If you can, everything's possible for one who has faith. You should remember that. Everything is possible for one who has faith. Not because of faith's intrinsic power, but because of what it opens up for God to be able to do. So Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and had it come out of the boy. And then very significantly, the boy dropped basically dead. And everybody thought that he was dead. He wasn't. But what Jesus did after is highly significant for all of us in our life of faith. Jesus went and he took the little boy by the hand, raised him, and he stood up. The early saints of the church always looked at this as what Jesus wants to do to each of us through baptism and the sacrament. We were dead in sin, and yet Jesus took us personally by that hand, raised us from the dead in the sacrament of baptism, and consistently does it, the sacrament of confession. Raises us from the dead, makes us stand up, capable of standing in his presence, capable of doing our thing. And then the end of it, when the disciples asked, why couldn't we drive it out? Jesus said, it's more than just the divine power working through human beings. That it needs to come out through prayer. And in some of the ancient manuscripts, not just prayer of the lips and the heart, but also prayers of the body. This type can only be expunged by prayer and fasting. Jesus wasn't just omnipotent, capable of doing what the disciples couldn't do. Jesus, according to his humanity, was constantly praying that the Lord would be able to use him. And it wasn't just his prayer at that moment. It was all his remote prayer, the prayer of his whole life, which made this possible. Faith on the one hand, and persevering prayer on the other, is what we need for these types of miracles. Now, nobody's foaming at the mouth this morning. But there's another type of demonic possession. And St. James talks about it explicitly in the first reading today. And most of us need faith, the Lord's persevering, powerful prayer, and openness to his miracle for it to happen to us. St. James contrasts two types of wisdom, just like St. Paul was at yesterday's Mass. Real wisdom, seeing things the way God does, and the worldly cleverness that fakes to be wise. Who among you is wise and understanding, St. James asks? Let him show his works by a good life and the humility that comes from wisdom. For wise were humble. Socrates taught us that 400 years before Christ came. One who is wise knows that he doesn't know what he doesn't know. He knows really his limits. But he contrasts the type of possession that enshackles so many of us. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, don't boast and be false to the truth. Wisdom of this kind doesn't come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Bitter jealousy. People who are upset when God blesses a neighbor, when somebody else is thriving, we can begin to have that spiritual cancer of resentment just grow and grow and grow. Likewise, selfish ambition. The adjective there is so important God wants us to be ambitious, but ambitious for His kingdom, ambitious to be the greatest by serving all the rest, by keeping His commandments, teaching others to do the same, by becoming like a little child and trusting in God evermore. God wants us to be ambitious, but not for ourselves, not selfish ambition, but for Him and for others. And when we don't have that type of ambition out of love for others, when we don't rejoice but instead have bitter jealousy over others' blessings, we too are possessed. We're possessed by an impure spirit. Might not throw us into all types of convulsions, into fire and water, but it might throw us, it might Father Joe must be ready to do an exorcism on my tongue over here. But it often is going to throw us into the fire of rage and bitterness and gossip. It's also going to throw us into the ice-cold water in which we have no love anymore, cooling it down. Jesus today, if we have faith, perseveringly prays and He wants to cast out that demon. He wants to take you by the hand and raise you from the dead, lift you up so that you can stand in His presence. This is the work of a lifetime, not a one-time thing. It's a constant battle in which Jesus wants to give us His wisdom. We need to have that type of persevering faith because everything is possible for one who believes. Today, we're celebrating the votive mass of St. Polycarp, whose feast day was yesterday, but because it's a Sunday, it wasn't celebrated. But he's so important for us, a real hero of faith. He was the bishop of Smyrna, which is in southwestern Turkey, one of the seven churches to whom the book of Revelation was written. He had learned the faith at the feet of St. Ignatius of Antioch, that great martyr who had learned the faith from St. John. So he was like the grandson, spiritually, of St. John, you could call it. And in 155, the Romans came for him. He was called the father of the Christians of the entire region, and he was so wise. He knew that they'd be coming for him eventually because he was true to the faith. So when they came into his house, the soldiers, he said, "I'm ready to go with you, but could I please first feed you?" So he had a sumptuous meal made for the soldiers so that while they were eating and drinking to their heart's content, he could have 2 more hours of prayer. They let him pray for 2 hours so that he would have the strength to do what he needed to do. And then they brought him into the amphitheater. And the local magistrate asked him if he would swear by the genius of Caesar, who was treated as a god, as you know, by the Romans. Polycarp said, "For 86 years I have served my Lord and King faithfully. Why would I betray him now? If you're asking me to swear by the genius of Caesar, then you should know and everyone should hear that I am a Christian." And he was sentenced to death by burning right there in the amphitheater. And he prayed to the Lord for the grace to remain faithful until the end. 46 years I have remained faithful to my Lord and King. Polycarp was always faithful to the very end. He was strengthened each day by the Eucharist, so that his entire life could become a Eucharistic holocaust in union with the Lord for the sake of others. He was able to stand while he was being burned alive because the Lord so many times had raised him from the dead. And he always grasped on to the hand of that Lord who raised him up and raises him every day. Today, as we prepare to receive that same strength of the Lord, we ask Him for a double gift. First, the gift of ever-increasing faith, persevering in it until the end, no matter what come, like St. Polycarp. We also ask Him to teach us the art of persevering, powerful prayer, so that we might be able to be His instruments to cast out the demons within and all around us. Praise be Jesus Christ.